This morning, we're going to look at the need for friendship. God created us, each one of us, with seven basic needs. First one being dignity, the need for authority. And probably you have people in here saying, I don't need no authority over me. The need for blessing and provision. The need for security. The need for purpose and meaning in our life. The need for freedom and boundary. And the need for intimate love and friendship. A major source of spiritual strongholds in our lives is a result of seeking to meet one or more of these needs apart from God's will for us. Spiritual stronghold is a fortress of thought that we have in us that Satan can agitate and use to control us. It's not the same as being demon-possessed, but the effect might be the same. You know, in other words, he can control us. I want to look this morning at number seven there, and that is intimate love and friendship. You know, we can easily and may do a sermon on each one of these basic needs. I think when we encounter situations in our lives where it makes us realize that we have this need, and why do I have this need? Why do I feel this need? And how do I get this need met? Why isn't this need being met? The answer is, if it falls into these general categories, which I think it would, recognize that God has created each one of us with these basic needs. And when we get done going through this, we will see why. What is the purpose for these needs that He created in us? Now, we have the need for friendship. Everybody here that lives out in Aspen Springs thinks we're all Clint Eastwood. You know, we're our self-made. We're an outlaw. We're independent. You know, we don't need anybody.
We're the good guys.
The good, bad, and ugly.
But truth be known, when we have a spiritual stronghold, it's like when we've had the remote and we're controlling the TV. You know, the TV does what we tell it to do with our remote. And when we have a spiritual stronghold, Satan's got his hands on the remote, and we're the TV. So, what is it about the need for friendship? You know, in Aspen Springs here, we revere independence. Myself included. The reason we moved here, the reason we like this area is because there's no rules. You know, we don't want to live in a gated community where there's rules about what color you paint your house. Is this being recorded? Like in Pagosa Lakes or whatever. Where we have rules where we paint our house, how many horses we can have, what our fence has to look like. You know, we're out here because we're independent. We like the freedom. But what does God want for us? What has God designed into us? And it's that need for friendship. Aspen Springs is just amazing. I've gone around, and I know a lot of you have as well, and we have so many interesting people in this community. I'm saying that in a loving way. I love the uniqueness that we have, and just the down-to-earth people that we have. And along with that, there is a little bit of sadness that comes with it. You know, I'll meet people, and they just want to be left alone. They don't want to deal with people. They don't want anybody to talk to. They're hiding out. And I don't look at them like Clint Eastwood. You know, I feel sorry. I feel bad. Because God has designed in us this need for friendship. Make no mistake. I would challenge anyone that feels like I got to be out and I got to be alone, I got to be away from people. I would challenge you with the fact that what is it that you are using to bury the need for friendship? We need friends. We want friends. But sometimes we feel like we're incompetent in dealing with them, or we can just never say the right thing. Every time we say something, it makes the other person mad, so I'll just quit saying things. Amen?
Amen.
You know, sometimes people have been hurt in so many areas of their life and so many other places that they figure, you know, the best solution for me is just to be out by myself, where I'm not going to do that, where people aren't going to bother me, my relatives aren't going to bother me. You know, they are not going to come out to Aspen Springs. You know, we even have a reputation protecting us. Don't go to Aspen Springs. That's protection.
We're going to fail.
But as I'm looking around their cabins, they have their little handheld, and it's connected to the internet. So are they really alone? Are they really isolated? No, they're on Facebook. They're connected. It's just sometimes that need, that desire for isolation and independence is modified by reality. You know, that people just want to have friends. But as far as they'll go is, well, I only want a friend that I can talk to when I want to talk, and then I can shut off when I'm done talking. Or I can say what I want and I don't have to worry about them coming to my door. I can say what I want and I don't have to worry about the next time I see them, because, you know, I'm never going to see them. It gets to be a little sad. So, you know, when people say that they really don't want to have friends, they really want to be alone and isolated, and they're out, hidden away, what are they really saying? And it's just been my experience, it's my observation, it's my conviction. They're saying, I'm hurt, I don't know how to deal with people, I've failed at it, other people have buried me, attacked me, whatever it is. And I find it easier just to be out by myself. But never fear. They have that desire deep down in their heart. It might be buried over with layers of stuff, but it's there. So there's four types of friendship we're going to look at this morning. The first one is intimate friendship. The second one is neighborly, third one biblical, and fourth one community. So let's take a look at intimate. If you'll turn in your scriptures to Genesis 2, beginning with verse 18. We're going way back, thousands of years, the first week of created time. Genesis 2, beginning with verse 18. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was his name. The man gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the sky and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a suitable helper for him. So the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. The man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. You know, it's interesting. Here's God's going through this week of creation, and he's creating all of these animals, and Adam notices, and God notices for Adam, each one has a mate, but he doesn't. And he notices that it's not going to be good for the man to be alone. So he creates woman, he creates a helper, so that they would have an intimate friendship, intimate relationship. And it is the same with us. We have that desire. Many of us start as kids. We grow up and we're thinking, well, I'll get older, we'll get married, we'll have kids, family, grandkids, what have you. You know, that's a desire that God has put in us. We desire intimate friendship. The next one being neighborly. Turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, we'll begin reading verse 30. Jesus replied and said, a man was going out from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, who was on a journey, came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion. And he came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you. Jesus asked, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? And he said, the one who showed mercy to him. And then Jesus said, go and do the same. We need friendship. And one of the ways that we satisfy this need is through neighborly contact. And we see in this story, this story that everyone grows up hearing, that a way to be a neighbor is to serve and help, and especially in this situation of great trouble, great catastrophe. Who knows? You might be coming to a church that you've never been to, and you get stuck halfway into the ditch, and you need somebody to pull you out. It could happen. All right. Another type of friendship is biblical. See, we love you already. 2 Timothy, chapter 4. 2 Timothy, chapter 4, we'll begin with verse 9, read through 22. Make every effort to come to me soon. For Demas, having left this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service. But Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak which I left at Troas with Carpus, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Be on guard against him yourself, for he vigorously opposed our teaching. At my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed, and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Prisca and Aquila, and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus remained at Corinth, but Trophimus I left sick at Miletus. Make every effort to come to before winter. Eubulus greets you, also Prudence and Linus and Claudia and all the brethren. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. You know, we see in this, and many of Paul's letters, he opens up and says, greet so-and-so and so-and-so, and this person whom I dearly love, and this person whom I miss. And we see in this passage here, a little bit of each side, we see Paul had some real difficulties with some people, and some people even worked against him, some people left. And yet, still, Paul felt some love and longing for them. But he also didn't take revenge, knowing that the Lord is in control. And when we take the chance on biblical relationships, it may not always turn out like we want it to be. Last week, we were going through Titus 2. Remember, older teach the younger, older women and older men teach the younger women and men. And, you know, we looked at how that's how the church is supposed to work. And that's often missing in churches. And you have to be willing to be discipled, and you have to be willing to disciple. We work together in all things, and that's a biblical relationship. And yeah, if we get offended, you know, we don't go out and take revenge. We don't go out and split the church. We don't go out around town doing everything we can to damage that person. And yet, we will more often have more and more friends that we develop in our biblical relationships. So, for us to shy away from these biblical relationships because things might blow up on our face, they might go south, we're missing out on so much. And it's not what God wants for us. God has put this desire in us that we would learn from each other, and teach each other, love each other. The next relationship is community. And you'll know that, you'll remember, because I've said it once or twice, that Amazing Grace Community Church is the one another place. And there's 30, 40, 50 scriptures that use that term, one another. In John, it says, love one another. And in Galatians, bear one another's burdens. And in James, confess your sins one to another. So community is all about one anothering. One anothering. This is the reason that God put this church here in Aspen Springs and gave it that assignment of one another. Be the one another place. Because when I came here in Aspen Springs, I didn't see much of that going on. And regardless of that, God decided that's what needed to happen here. And that's where that one another place phrase came from. Before I even knew anything was happening here. Before I actually landed here, this phrase was given to me. And this is what we see happening from this body here. You're one anothering within the church. You're one anothering out in the community. And people are being blessed. People are being healed. People are being loved and welcomed. People are being served. And you know what else? They are giving back even out of their gratitude. You know, this food pantry that we have is just a miracle in progress every week. It has never run dry. We endeavor every week to give out everything in there. And sure enough, it gets filled right back up. It's just a flat miracle. So, community is driven by this need for friendship. Alright, I mentioned that when I go around to see many situations, there are a lot of people living alone in this community. You know, maybe intentionally, maybe through circumstance. And if if you find yourself or someone you know that's living alone, and really, they even openly admit, I prefer to have a mate, I prefer to have a spouse, you know, they're divorced or they're widowed, maybe they have a lack of friends, you know, they haven't developed friends because they feel inept at it or for whatever reason. Maybe they need to change a friend because the friends they do have aren't really friends. There is some solutions. And can I say in the most loving way, as a pastor, get over yourself. I'm really, in a loving way. You know, because that's a situation. You can't go back and rewind time and do it over. It'd be nice if we could. But we can't. So what is the solution today that you find yourself in? You know, three things that I can recommend, and I would say test me in this by going out and trying before you shoot me with an arrow. Become part of community. Become friends with everyone you can. And then become better friends with Jesus. Those three things. You know, the free lunch that we do, the free lunch ministry, is not about, well, there's so many people in Aspen Springs, if we don't give them a free lunch on Saturday, they're going to starve. No. It's about fun. It's about friendship. It's about getting out there and do something together as community and friends and make new friends. You know, people come to the free lunch and they meet people and they say, I hear it all the time, "Whoa, this is so great. I never knew anybody in the community. Now I know all these people." It seems so simple, but our society has gotten so far away from having these community hubs. And we're trying to do at least what we can on our part. So the free lunch is one easy way to become part of the community. But there are a lot of different community things. So just find or recommend to someone that you know that's suffering in this way, find a community event. Get involved. We often say to people that are struggling in this way, go join two social groups or two community groups. Hopefully one of them is a church, but go join two of them and watch how just those in those two groups and meeting those people, it's going to expand your world. It'll expand the people that you're in touch with. You may find yourself, oh, you know, I can't lift this thing and get it out of the way, and I live by myself. I wish somebody would come by and lift it for me. Well, if you start making more friends and things, sure enough, somebody may be able to help you with that need. Maybe you're able to help them with one of their needs. If you become friends with everyone you can, again, you will see the same principle at work. Why shouldn't we become friends with everyone we can? I mean, I can't think of any good reason. You know, when we're driving along or we meet new people in the area or we get a neighbor come in, you know, we should go introduce ourselves and try to be friends with them. Ask them about themselves and what we can do for them. If they have any needs, invite them to something, invite them to the free lunch, whatever. Tell them about the food pantry. You know, just think of any little thing. And you'd be amazed how just the small things in the small amount of time could enrich somebody else's life. Become a better friend of Jesus. Turn with me to John 15. Verses 13 through 15. John 15, 13 through 15. Jesus says, "Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you." Jesus is calling us friends, his friend. And here again, sometimes when I go out door to door, I run into people that say, yeah, I believe in God, but and yeah, I'm a Christian, but I don't need to go to church. I don't need to make friends to be a Christian. Well, you know, that technically that's true. But what are they missing out on? You know, Jesus is not only friends with me, he's friends with you too. And he wants us to make more friends. He wants to have more friends. We get the picture? He wants to have one. He wants to have a lot of friends. He invites everybody to be his friend. And again, if we follow these three things, if we realize that Jesus is our friend in our loneliness, in our isolation, we begin to feel not alone. We begin to feel fellowship. We begin to feel this desire when we wake up in the morning just to praise him and pray to him and talk with him. Have a little talk with Jesus. I probably won't sing that.
Thank you, God.
So, there are some building blocks on how you make friends. Some people, the reason they don't have friends, the reason they're afraid to go out and make friends is they don't know how. They haven't learned it. Well, today, we're going to have a quick, easy lesson on how to build friends. The first is spending time together. Spending time together. We must be intentional. We must decide, well, I'm going to walk over across the street and talk to Ken and Susan and just talk with them, you know, just be friends. And that's an intentional act. I have to get up out of my house, turn off the Facebook, and he is on Facebook, so we do communicate by Facebook. Every now and then I got to go over there in real life. So I go over there and we'll visit. In order for me to do that, I have to sacrifice something for myself, right? I may have an activity or something I'm wanting to do, and I have to decide I'm not going to do that. Becoming friends is more important. Everybody's looking at me like a deer in the headlights.
I think everybody's thinking sheriff and harassment.
Yeah. And then there's transparency. You know, we need to be open with people and candid. You know, so often we're just shut off. And that's another reason we don't have friends, is we don't want to open up. And if we don't want to open up, maybe the person we're trying to befriend doesn't want to open up. And we have to be a little more transparent, because friends, you know, share information and they speak candidly with each other. And sometimes that means we have to be a little vulnerable, because we're revealing something very personal about ourselves. Maybe something we're struggling with, or maybe a sin, or something that we think or do, and the other person may not approve of it. We have to be willing to be vulnerable. And so for some people, spending their time might be real difficult. Others, the transparency might be real difficult. I think on this list, that's my most difficult one, because there's no way that the pastor ever has any problems.
No way.
He's perfect. You know, he's not vulnerable. You know, got an image to protect. Then there's thoughtfulness. Sometimes just a little thing, like a little card or taking over something to your neighbor, it could be just a little thing. It just shows that you thought of them. It's an unselfish attitude, an attitude of giving. Sometimes what we do with the food pantry, especially if we're overflowing, I just tell the volunteers, take it, put it in your car, and just drive. In any house you feel like, just go knock on the door and give it to them. Give them that piece of chicken. It's from Aspen Springs Food Pantry. And it blows people away.
Yep.
And it's just fun. But it's a little thing, but they like it. You know, I mean, How many times do you open the door and somebody's there, hey, would you like some frozen chicken? It's usually they want to come up and read something out of the Bible, how you're a sinner. Freak them out. Give them a piece of frozen chicken. The next one is tolerance. Here is where a lot of us Christians suffer. You know, we are going to be right. You know, we have rights. By God, we know what we're doing. But the Bible says, why not have the attitude of rather be wrong? Why not be willing to be the one that gets hurt? Take the short end of the stick. You know, maybe they took advantage of me. Okay, rather be wrong. Let them have it. You know, how many times we see our little kids fighting or something? Just let them have it, will you? You know, just we should be the same as adults. Overlook others' flaws. Sometimes we condition our friendship on superior performance of the person that we're trying to befriend. You know, we all have flaws. We need to be willing to overlook the other person's flaws. And when we are, you're going to find such great joy in friendship when you're able to overlook someone else's flaws. And then finally, trust. We need to be honest. We need to be a truth teller. And we can say the truth to someone with either a condemning attitude or with love and gentleness and kindness. But we need to speak truth. So often we'll mask the truth with a lie or a little white lie or another story or dodge the issue. Instead of just speaking truth in a loving and gentle way or answering the question, you know, did you take my rape? Yeah. No, that was my rake. I got it back a couple years ago. You know, we got to speak the truth with our neighbors. We need to be loyal and faithful and reliable. You know, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Being loyal is goes along with being wrong. You know, being loyal to your friends, no matter what their flaws are, if they mess up, because we all make mistakes and mess up, and we tend to hurt one another, not intentionally, but being loyal means riding out those hills and valleys of your friendship. And this applies to all of us as church members and fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, that we're willing to overlook each other's flaws. We're willing to stay friends over a period of time, because we're all going to mess up. We're all going to do things that embarrass the others or offend the others. But we've got to be here and willing to accept each other back into fellowship, into friendship, to be forgiving, clearly forgive. And that's loyalty, that's faithfulness, that's reliability. Okay, I promised you at the beginning that there was going to be a purpose in this need for friendship, because you may have tuned out on slide one saying, well, I am married, I got a lot of friends, so wake me up at the end, Pastor. No, hopefully you didn't, because here we are. The purpose of friendship, it's evangelism and discipleship tool, and it is what holds society together. Think about that. That is huge. So we looked at those four types of friendship: intimate, neighborly, biblical, and community. So the purpose of intimate friendship is marriage and family. To form a family, to have children, and then grandchildren, cousins, uncles, aunts, family. The purpose of neighborly friendship is for us to be administrators of grace. Administrators of grace. God has given us grace. It's by His grace that we are saved. By His grace that He looks at us as righteous. And now He wants us to administrate that grace. So thank you for that grace, Lord. And I'm going to give you a little, I'm going to give you a little, I'm going to give you a little. We administrate it. And then after I give it to you, you know, we start doing things together, and things happen, and we're administrating the grace. And maybe you struggle with someone, and you talk to me, and we're sharing grace, and we have ideas, well, how can we extend grace to that person that is really messing up? We're administrators of grace. Biblical friendship. This is discipleship, which should result in harmony and peace. Discipleship should result in harmony and peace. Why does it? Because we are becoming of one mind and one faith. We grow in the unity of fellowship and the unity of faith. And that's through discipleship. Because we could have world peace if we all were of the same mind. And that's the reason there is no world peace, because the whole world is not of the same mind. There will come a day in the New Jerusalem when we do have that one mind. We do have peace and harmony. And then finally, community friendship is purposed in church fellowship. You know, God created the church so that we would gather together, worship Him, love Him with all our heart, soul, and mind, and to love others. Well, if we're not getting together, how are we going to love each other? Well, when we come together on Sundays, we're coming for a purpose. You know, I know one of the purposes is Adrian's food, but the other purpose is supposed to be that we edify one another. We build one another up. We encourage one another. When we go home after Sunday service, we should go home encouraged. Wow, I feel like I've got something I can do this week, or I've got a little more faith, or I've got a solution, or I heard from the Lord, or my friend. I've got an answer to prayer. You know, we should be encouraged. We feel like, well, I learned something out of Scripture after I came. I truly feel that besides the fact that the whole world is not of one mind, that we don't have peace, in America, the reason it seems to be so chaotic right now is simply because of this friendship principle that God has put in us has just been obliterated. Everybody has their own idea, their own plans. There are things that they want personally, the things that they believe, the things they want you to believe or not believe. And if we were to respond to this need God put in us for friendship and go out and be intentional in making friends, we would begin to see a little more of maybe what some of the old-timers will say used to be in America, where there was a lot of harmony, and there was a lot of neighborliness, and there were biblical relationships and intimate relationships, and we wouldn't see the community just shattering and falling apart like it is today. So let's not go out of here complaining and moaning and griping, and let's go out with a purpose in mind, and that is understanding this need for friendship and going out and being friends. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'd like to share something with you guys. First of all, Lord, thank you.